If Chris Steyerwalt is not in the studio, I don't want to talk to him. I need the crystal clear sounds of Chris giving me the image and sense that he's right next to me. If he's not, if he's on just a phone call like a pedestrian, please cancel him. Blame it on the weather.
You know the great thing about me?
Oh, we're back? Oh, Chris. Yeah. Oh, man, you didn't hear that, did you?
Brian, the great thing about me is people have become accustomed to accepting less. And that's what I count on.
Fantastic. Good. But the last thing we need is another person reaching for the stars.
Exactly. Aim right. low, surpass rock-bottom expectations, and succeed. That's
all right.
Great.
Hey, Chris Steyerwalt's with us. He's the same Chris Steyerwalt from Washington, D.C., Fox News' digital political editor. See him just about every night. You're in Tennessee. Well, I'll tell you, Senator Lamar Alexander's got to be one happy guy, Chris.
Yeah, he held on. He didn't win by as much as he should have won, but who cares? He won, and now there will be no incumbents defeated. No Republican incumbent senators will be defeated this cycle. In the last two cycles, Republican incumbents lost. Mike Lee beat Bob Bennett in 2010. Arlen Specter fled the party, full-blown fled the party, away from Pat Toomey in 2010. 2012, they beat Dick Lugar. This has been part of a national movement spearheaded by Jim DeMint, Senate Conservatives Fund, chasing these folks down, finding moderate Republicans and trying to hound them out of the Senate. And I got to tell you, whatever happened in this race, this was a good race. And people can be proud of this, that Joe Carr and Lamar Alexander both ran a good race. It wasn't weird. It wasn't stupid. Joe Carr was a straight shooter, and he conducted an honorable race. And he demonstrated, by the way, unlike the absolute debacle of a disaster that we saw in Mississippi, these folks demonstrated that there's a way for Republicans to do this and have this discussion and not be gross.
So, listen, one of the issues was, unless you correct me, Chris, was immigration. Lamar Alexander voted for the Senate immigration package, and he said, listen, it wasn't what I wanted, but it was the best we had. That was the old mindset in the Senate, wasn't it?
Well, the old mindset in the Senate was get something before it gets worse. Basically, this was the way that the Senate took that bill, the way the Republicans in the Senate took that bill was like they were in the district attorney's office on Law and Order, and they were trying to make the best deal before they were sent to Rikers. It was like, oh, we got to get something. We got to go fast. Because the president said, if you don't do it, I'll use executive orders. And if you don't do it, we'll beat you so bad in 2014 on this issue with Hispanic voters. Because if you remember at the time, there was a total chill through the Republican Party about Hispanic voters. And they said, if you don't do this, you'll never win any more elections. You'll be terrible. Get this before it's worse next time. That was the prevailing wisdom. They did it. But then two things happened. The president turned into a lame duck and turned unpopular. And number two, the border crisis changed the way everybody saw what was going on because Americans said, wait a minute, I didn't know the border was like this. So, yeah, it's like that's how it is every day. And so the thinking changed, and now what looked like a pragmatic vote for Alexander turned into a real liability. But he described it as he voted against amnesty, which was stretchy. That was stretchy, but it was technically true. Mm-hmm. And he and Carr duked it out. And, you know, look, the Republican Party has to deal with this question. But as long as Obama is being Obama about it, they don't really have to because when he says, I'll do this or I'll do that or I'll do whatever, they stay united.
Chris is with us from Tennessee after the election where Lamar Alexander got 50 and, again, another Tea Party candidate got 40% and there was more to divide the two vote. The other big story that you're also all over and projected, as soon as the plagiarism charge went to Senator John Walsh, we knew he was going to have trouble in a very red state of Montana. Well, he is now out. Christina Bellantoni, who is editor-in-chief of Roll Call, weighed in on what it means for the balance of power in the Senate. Cut 19.
John Walsh was always in a precarious spot because he was appointed to fill this seat when Max Baucus became ambassador to China. And this is a more Republican state. You have a member of Congress in Steve Daines, who represents the at-large seat, who's running against him. So the Republicans liked their chances here in, as you've been talking about, a pretty favorable year for them anyway. They have the candidates that they like. But when this all came out, you know, and credit to the New York Times, I mean, this was a very big deal. And Roll Call had actually noticed, our partners at the CQ members team had noticed that there were some discrepancies actually on his education as well, and that's something that we have
so
put
what,
out
what
there.
So what does this mean? And especially since their governor, Brian Schweitzer, says, I'm not running for that spot. Is that basically now a layup for the Republican?
Well, the Republicans are going to win that seat, whatever happened. They're probably going to win it without the scandal. Once the scandal came in, Democrats wrote that off. That was done. Then the question was for Walsh coming to terms with that. And also, by the way, he ain't done yet because he may get stripped of his rank. He may get stripped of his degree.
Wow.
There are more shoes to drop for him, and there is not an unreasonable question of will this man be able to serve out the remainder of his term, or will he have to step down from the Senate? So this is once that broke, once he got clean pop, he pretty well was cooked, and he knew it. So this is about politicians struggle with that moment where they say, "Yeah, actually, I am done. No, I'm done here. Yep, you're all done."
Hey, and Chris, finally, I just love this story for you. I love that in Alaska, Senator Begich is saying, I'm friends with Senator Murkowski and putting her in ads. And she's going, I am not friends with you. Stop saying we're friends. That happened to me throughout my childhood. I know it happened to you, too. But this is unbelievable. These are adults.
Well, right, exactly. When I try to tell people that I know you, you have to run counter ads to say that I just have him on the radio show as a
costly
as a
but necessary. Costly but
necessary. You've got to keep your distance.
I liked your coverage in Tennessee, Chris. Good. I look forward to seeing you back in D.C. Thanks so much.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Brian.
You too. Safe travels back. Go to our Facebook page, Kill Me Friends, and like us. I need it for my self-esteem.